ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जया मुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः गोविंदाय नमो नमः।
सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 6 एंटाइटल्ड द यदु डायनेस्टी रिटायर्स टू प्रभास टेक्स्ट नंबर 45
शय्या सनातन स्थान शय्या सनातन स्थानं स्नान क्रीडाशनादिषु स्नान क्रीडाशनादिषु कथं त्वां प्रियमात्मानम् कथं त्वां प्रियमात्मानम् वयं भक्तास्त्यजेमहि वयं भक्तास्त्यजेमहि शय्यासनाटनस्थान स्नानक्रीडाशनादिषु कथं त्वां प्रियमात्मानम् वयं भक्तास्त्यजेमहि वयं भक्तास्त्यजेमहि। शय्यासनाटनस्थान स्नानक्रीडाशनादिषु कथं त्वां प्रियमात्मानम्
लेडीज
कथं त्वां प्रियमात्मानम् वयं भक्तास्त्यजेमहि।
शय्या इन लाइंग डाउन आसन सिटिंग आटन वॉकिंग स्थान स्टैंडिंग स्नान bathing, krida, taking recreation, asana, no, ashana, eating, adishu, the other activities, katham, how, tvam, you, priyam, dear, atmanam, self, vayam, we, bhaktaha, your devotees, tyajema, can reject, he, indeed. Translation. My dear Lord, you are the Supreme Soul, thus you are the most dear to me. We are your devotees, and how can we possibly reject you or live without you even for a moment? Whether we are lying down, sitting, walking, standing, bathing, enjoying recreation, eating or doing anything else, we are constantly engaged in your service. Purport. One should be constantly engaged in the service of Lord Krishna. By hearing about Krishna and by serving him, we can give up the illusion of trying to enjoy something separately from the Supreme Lord. If we neglect such hearing and serving, our minds will become bewildered by the illusory energy of the Lord, and seeing the world as separate from Krishna, we will take it as a place meant for our own sense gratification. This gross ignorance brings nothing but trouble to the living entity. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupak Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. First of all, I seek blessings from Rukmini Mataji and Gaur Shakti Prabhu. Please bless me. You are so kind. Hare Krishna. So, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. I am sorry to sit here in front of you. Hare Krishna. So today we read from Srimad Bhagavatam, and the background is that Lord Brahma has come and had a long discussion with Krishna, and they concluded that Sri Krishna will now start his journey back home, and en route he will visit Lord Brahma, and also before that he will take his Yadu dynasty away from the face of the world. And then their discussion with Uddhava is starting. Srimad Bhagavatam is a very deep scripture which essentially introduces us to various great personalities and their pastimes. So it's a gathering of discussions about many, many pure devotees of the Lord, very, very tall, magnanimous personalities. That's why they have their presence in Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's very tasty and very interesting to come across these various wonderful personalities and get introduced to them, get connected with them, to know about them, to hear about them. And that is the means, as per Narad Muni's instruction to Vyasadeva, the means is to purify oneself and to become Krishna conscious. So Uddhava is one of those personalities. Even in our fire sacrifices, we always offer oblations to Uddhava also. after Vyasadev. So Uddhav happens to be one of the Yadavas, but he is very different personality than Yadavas. He is a very special Yadav. Amongst all of them, he is the disciple of Brihaspati, the guru of demigods. He has the same complexion of Krishna. He looks like Krishna only, like Arjun. Then he is very close friend of Krishna. Anybody in bhakti would like to attain the position of Uddhav actually, because that is, if for Uddhav's sake, from that point of view, there is nothing more to achieve. He is a very close friend to Krishna. He dines with him, he sleeps with him, he talks with him, he goes for hunting with him, he does advisory activity in the assembly of Dwarka, Sudharma assembly. Then everything, there is no activity which he has not done with Krishna. And plus he is a very close friend of Krishna. Plus he is a relative of Krishna, he is a cousin brother of Krishna. So there are so many privileges that he has. And for him, one may feel, what is there next to achieve? Like somebody is, suppose, the prime minister of country, then what is the promotion for him? There is no promotion. He is in the highest position. So that kind of position Uddhav had. And for the sake of pastimes, actually, as our acharyas explained, that he had some tinge of pride about his knowledge. Because he had learned everything from Deva Guru Brihaspati. And Sri Krishna thought that he is my dear devotee, he is my friend, I love him so much. So I should help him out of this pride. At the same time, there is a very unique feature that he chose him to go to Braj with the message. Maybe he could have also chosen Satyaki, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. There were so many Samba, there were so many close family members were there. But the unique thing about Uddhav was that the confidence that Sri Krishna had, that although he had little pride, but he is humble enough to appreciate the glories of gopis. He has that flexibility within him to accept something higher than him if it is presented to him. So that confidence is very crucial. Suppose we have pride about certain things, about our position, about authority that we have, or influence that we have, or knowledge that we have, or maybe the various situations which can give pride. But the pride, it may be there as a natural course of living in the material world or associating the material energy sometimes in between. But that should be always curable. Huh? Pride should be curable. Otherwise, the people who are proud, they are very stubborn to give up their pride. So along with the pride, there should be somewhere, some humility should be there to accept some correction, some suggestion. So that confidence Sri Krishna had, that his pride was curable, it was not incurable. Otherwise that pride actually takes people away from Krishna. Humility brings devotees or everybody close to Krishna. So this was unique feature of Uddhav. Although he was very, very, very highly placed, but he was a very sincere devotee of Krishna. So when sincerity in devotion and the genuinity comes, humility also accompanies, although side by side some pride can develop for certain other things. So I thought here that we should all pray to Krishna that if I have pride, definitely we have pride. Let that pride be curable. And O Creator Krishna, please do not hesitate to smash that pride. We have to pray actually to Krishna. Because even in our normal dealings, suppose you find your friend to be proud. But if there is no freedom or situation where you can tell him or her about that situation, then even if you are a close friend, you can't tell anything. But if the friend has already told you, my dear friend, if you ever find me proud, please don't hesitate to tell me about it on my face. I'll be grateful to you. Because I want to get away from this pride. So we have to also tell Krishna and fellow devotees that please do not hesitate to tell me. I may feel bad that time, but please be frank and be honest enough to me. And third thing is we pray to Krishna that please give me strength that when you will listen to my prayer and choose to smash me without hesitation, then also give me strength to bear the pain when the pride is being smashed. Because pride is, it is said that pride is very, very, very closest to the soul. Very snugly fitting and attached. So when that is being torn apart, it gives great pain. Like when you get skin off your body, it's okay, it's a little pain. But when the wound goes to the bone and nerves, it's very painful, extremely painful. So like that, pride, when it is being smashed, it is very painful. So we have to also pray to Krishna that I will cry, but give me strength to bear with the pain that I will go through. So that the mercy which comes from you, O my Lord, in removing the pride, should be benefited to me in totality. Now that I accept some mercy and reject some mercy, or struggle with some mercy, accept some mercy. I want to accept the mercy as a totality and get the fullest benefit which is endowed or planned within that. So this is very interesting. That's why we adore Uddhav. Uddhav is the only personality actually. There is one speciality I told that he has got a lot of qualifications. And another speciality that he has, he is the only one who went to Braj from Dwarka. One Akhroor Krem from Mathura. From the Aishwarya area to Madhuri area. But we don't hear of many more people coming from other places to Vrindavan for a specific purpose. Brahma came, Indra came, but they came in a different capacity. They did not actually associate with Brajvasis. They did not actually, you know, understand the heart of Brajvasis. They were just doing something from outside actually, by the will of the Lord. But Uddhav is one personality that he actually had close association with the Brajvasis. He had association with gopis, the highest of all Brajvasis. He had connection with Radharani, with the gopis. And he heard from them for 6 months. He went to tell them something, but he realized that he cannot tell them anything. There's nothing that he can tell them actually, which is been able to tell them. Some substance that he has which can be told to them. So he heard gopis narrating about Krishna for 6 months. And that's how he found the purpose for which he had come to give them consolation was fulfilled. Instead of he talking, they are consoling themselves by telling about Krishna to Uddhav. So Uddhav just went on hearing. He went for 2-3 days, but he went for, stayed for 6 months over there. So, he was different. He was very special. He had that Braj Bhav touching him. He understood that Braj Bhav. He imbibed it to so much extent that he went back to Vrindavan, performed tapasya to become blade of grass. In the material world, we do tapasya for what? To go for higher position. Nobody does any tapasya for demotion. Even materially or spiritually, whatever exams we give, whatever another entrance we give, we want to go higher than what we are. We want to progress. Nobody wants to do any austerities to, you know, come down from your position. So we know two personalities who have done that. One is Lord Rama, who from topmost chief executive of the universe, he had become a stone in Barsana. And he performed 120,000 years of tapasya to become a stone. I mean, you can become a lower personality, human being, but he became an inert substance. Live, I'm conscious, but inert substance. And then we know Uddhav, who was in such a topmost achievement position with Sri Krishna, but did tapasya to become an insignificant blade of grass in Vrindavan. And he lived that. He didn't say, oh, I made a mistake, why I became blade of grass. Let me again go back. Now he is still today supposed to be known to be living in the form of Gulmalata at the banks of Kusum Sarovar, waiting all the time for gopis to walk upon and receive the dust of gopis, hoping that he will get an iota of the deep Braj Bhav that they harbor. So you can imagine what a unique and wonderful personality Uddhav is. Having a topmost position which is always welcome for him, Krishna never said that, no more you are my friend, no more you are my advisor. Krishna never rejected him. But he chose although he had the highest opportunity to come down to a lowest platform, so that he may not embarrass the gopis by asking them to give their dust to him. It should be a natural affair. So he went down and down and down so that they feel utmost natural feeling to walk and he can receive the dust naturally. A lot of things to learn from Uddhav actually. It is very difficult when we go on a very higher position to learn from somebody. Because when you go higher and higher and higher, the lesser and lesser people are near you. All of them, the large number of people are down. And you ascend to a higher position, then very few people are next to you. And sometimes they are equals, and you also have your ego to listen to them. You don't listen to them. So it is very difficult to maintain humility when you go up. More and more pride comes in. More and more you become closed. Only your guru can tell you. Only a person who made you devotee can maybe tell you, or may not be able to tell you also. But sometimes you think you are so experienced that even you can discuss with guru also when he instructs you. So it is very dangerous to actually go higher and higher in the material world, or even in the spiritual hierarchy in temple, let me go higher and higher authority. We have to cultivate actively and effortfully the humility that is required. That is why in the purport it is said that hearing about Krishna and serving him regularly, we can give up the illusion that we are the controllers, we are the doers, we are the boss. We have to regularly cultivate alongside of the higher position that we have for our service sake. We need to cultivate that humility regularly. Like Brahma was creating the universe in the highest capacity, but at the same time he performed 120,000 years of tapasya to be able to receive the dust of gopis and get the devotion to the Lord. So it is very important. And all of us, when we travel in our spiritual journey, we do get some higher position, some higher authority, some people under to train them. Naturally, it's a natural sequelae. As you do more, Krishna gives you more. And also along with that, pride also travels with you. Starts traveling with you when you further go ahead. So we have to be very conscious, and with that full awareness, we have to cultivate this humility. So that unknowingly we don't get smashed and get shattered. But we are aware that this may happen, and we know if I'm going in the endemic area of typhoid, then I'm aware that I may catch up typhoid, so I take a vaccine and go in the endemic area. I don't want to be so proud that I'm so healthy that I will walk in the endemic area of typhoid and I'll come out without typhoid. It's an illusion. I'll walk in the area of mosquitoes and not get malaria. That's a false pride. Nobody can claim that. You know, however healthy one is, he will be infected. So however great devotees we are, if you're not aware, then we will get inflicted. And inflicted with pride, then next is smashing, getting smashed. So we have to be very careful. Second item, if we read the 2-3 shlokas behind, when Uddhava actually starts talking to Krishna, we can understand that Uddhava actually is able to understand Krishna's mind by two ways. One is logical understanding. He sees things around him, discussions around him, happenings around him. And second is from the core of his heart, he understands Krishna. What is the logical situation? He thinks, oh, Krishna is telling his Yadava friends that, oh, we have been inflicted by the curse of Brahman, and now this place has become very dangerous for all of us. We need to leave this place. We should go to Prabhas and we should feed Brahmins their choicest food. We should give them donations. We should perform sacrifices. Maybe by this way we will get freed from the curse of Brahmanas. Now Dwarka is Vaikuntha actually. And not only Vaikuntha, the Vaikunthadhish, Dwarkadhish also is present in that. So one does not need to take bath in the river. When you are seeing the Lord face to face, it is said you can take bath in the river, you can get freed from the sins and karmas slowly, slowly, slowly. Even Sri Krishna is explaining that in 11th chapter to his father Vasudev. We discussed a couple of shlokas behind. Maybe it will come in for future also in 86th chapter. So what is the need for Dwarkavasis, Yadavas, the family members of Krishna, to go to some other place than Dwarka, take bath in Gomti, out of the ocean situation, come to the land situation, mainland, and take bath. So Uddhava is very intelligent. He is thinking, what is the need of Krishna to take his family members to other place? He himself is capable, just by his darshan, to free them from all the curses. His presence is so supremely auspicious. Their fortune is so auspicious that they are with Krishna and connected with Krishna. It is just Krishna may say, so be it. Let them be free from all the sins. Let them be free from the Brahmana's curse. And it will happen. So that time Uddhav, very spiritually intelligent, understood that when Krishna is not doing this, he has a power to counteract the curse of a Brahmana, but he is not doing this and apparently acting to be doing a solution to that problem when being in full capacity. He understood that means Krishna has some plan. That's why he is not counteracting. And even the acharyas explain that it is an illusory pastime. Very wonderful explanation is given by Chakravarti Pad and other acharyas. That is an illusory pastime. The fact is that they are all liberated in one sense because they are with Krishna. They are serving Krishna, connected with Krishna. They are in love with Krishna. But still Krishna is doing some external so-called ritualistic solution for their problem and taking them away. And the reason acharyas explain that most of the Yadavas, Yadus, were not prepared to go back to Godhead by their spiritual qualifications. And if they would leave their body in Dwarka, they would have to be taken back to Vaikuntha, because whenever you leave your body in a holy dham of the Lord, nij dham, one goes back to Godhead. But by their qualifications spiritually, they were supposed to go back to their original positions where they were serving as demigods. So they had to be taken out in Prabhas Chetra. Prabhas Chetra also is a very powerful place, but it's not dham. There's a difference between dham and tirtha. Dham is Lord's own abode. And tirtha is a place where Lord leaves the dham and travels and does some pastime somewhere. That is called tirtha. Like Ayodhya is dham and Nasik is tirtha. So like that, he took them, and so this is logical understanding. And by the power of love, also it is possible to get the truth revealed in the heart about the Lord. Many acharyas have explained this, that love is such a faculty that it can connect you with the facts even if you are away from each other from long distance. And there are so many stories, like for example, Haridas Thakur was there in Jagannath Puri. And Haridas Thakur came to realization that my dear Lord will leave very soon. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will leave very soon. So he told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his daily visits of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Haridas Thakur, he told him that my Lord, I can perceive that you are going to leave very soon. And I can also understand, I will not be able to witness that departure of yours from this world. So please, take me away before you leave. And Lord also, understanding the heart of his devotee, granted that boon and helped him to, assisted him actually, to get delivered, get entrance in Goloka before he ended his pastimes. Also Lord also understands the heart of devotees, and devotee also understands Lord of the heart, mind of the heart. So Lord also understood that Lokanath Swami, Goswami, would not be able to witness the pastime of Lord taking sannyas. So Lord called Lokanath, who was living in Navadvip with him. Right from his childhood, he was there only. So Lord called Lokanath and told, you won't be able to witness my sannyas pastime. So please go to Vrindavan. And then I will meet you there. So Lokanath also understood, yes, I cannot see Lord's golden hair being cut. I cannot see Lord accepting saffron cloth, renouncing his family and worldly situation. So he left. I have one very beautiful current life example. We have our god sister called Kishori Mataji. And way back, we used to have Pune festival in Bangalore. Used to have devotees in thousands to have program there. And in between, her father departed when we were in Puneyatra. And that time, before that, he had very high blood pressure and latest medical medicines were tried upon him. So one time all of a sudden His Holiness Radhana Swami asked her, ki, how is your father doing? Is he not well? So she said, Mahārāja, how do you know? So then Radhanath Maharaj explained that when there is love, the Lord reveals the factual situations about our beloveds to us, even though it is not known mechanically or materially. So because I love you and love your family, the Lord has made me perceive the fact. The same way when He passed away also, the same experience was there. It was not told to her that He passed away, but Guru Maharaj already had perceived that He is no more. Same way when Dwarkadish Prabhu's father actually was leaving, he was in the Bhaktivedanta hospital. There was some unique interaction between him and Dwarkadish Prabhu's father, Radhana Swami and Dwarkadish Prabhu's father, while they were physically away from each other. There was a transcendental communication took place between them. So again, it is explained that by the power of love that we have amongst each other, certain facts about our life which are intense are revealed to each other. Like, maybe I'm praying for somebody at Barsana, and suddenly I remember somebody and I pray for that person in Barsana. And I send a message that, my dear Prabhu, I'm praying for you. And that person immediately responds, Prabhu, I was in a great anxiety-ridden, bad situation in my life. And right at that time, your prayer message came. It was such a relief. And one time I got a message that, oh Prabhu, you sent me a message and I was going to from Gujarat to Vapi and from there to Daman from the ocean. And I'm saved from a dangerous accident just by a flicker of a second. So when we love somebody, there is some intuition that comes to us because of the power of love. And all the intense situations of life are exchanged at the level of emotions. That is why we say, sabse unchi prem sagai. That's why we say that the bond of love is highest of all bonds. It can take you beyond all conflicts, difference of opinion, difference of personalities, difference of liking, dislikings for each other. If there is love beyond all these things, then also it takes you beyond all these things. If we love with understanding that we are God brothers, God sisters, members of Srila Prabhupada's family, and by the fact of that only we love each other, that because we belong to that family, then that understanding of love makes us cognizant about things happening in each other's life. It is not just by SMS or WhatsApp or email that we come to know things, but there is some feeling in the heart also. I remember one time, Niranjan Maharaj was there in Russia, and he met one of his disciples, and the disciple was in last stage of life, so he told his Guru Maharaj Niranjan Swami that I am supposed to go to Bhaktivedanta Hospice Vrindavan. I want to go and leave my body there. So Maharaj said, yes, my blessings are there with you, please go. And it is understood that he is supposed to go to Mumbai, India and Mathura and come to our Bhaktivedanta Hospice. And then Niranjan Maharaj went to England from there. Suddenly he woke up at 1 o'clock in the night. In the morning. And he was like kind of restless, Niranjan Swami Maharaj. And he woke up and immediately asked his servant, just call that devotee in Russia and ask, what is happening? Is he alright or has he gone to Vrindavan? Find out about him. And then he could not sleep. He was walking around the veranda chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And in the meantime, the servant disciple called that disciple. And he came to know that disciple couldn't go to Bhaktivedanta Hospice, India, because of his dire emergency situation, and he's on the verge of death. That message was given, and immediately Niranjan Swami Maharaj chanted so intensely, for maybe half an hour, 45 minutes. And another phone call came, that the disciple left his body in Russia. So this is, I'm just sharing one example to you. There are many, many examples like this. When there is bond of love between disciple and spiritual master, between the disciples, when a genuine bond is there, then the actual facts about that person is revealed to you. The Lord is in between you and that person. By the bond of love, the Lord is inspired to be within both of you, or both of us. And through the agency of the Lord, who is all-knowing, all-powerful, communicates between the two and fulfills the needful that is to be done. So that disciple needed that prayer and he received that prayer. One time, Niranjan Swami Maharaj was here on this dais and Radhana Swami Maharaj was sharing the dais with him. And suddenly, Radhanath Maharaj left the dais and went in the room. So everybody was wondering what happened. Suddenly he left and went to the room. So Niranjan Swami explained from this dais that at this moment of time, someone is needing him. So he has gone to pray for him. So this is how that spiritual life is working all about. Spiritual life is not something mechanical on the level of physical and, you know, mental platform. Spiritual life is on spiritual platform. And spiritual platform, many things at spiritual platform are inconceivable. Maybe illogical, difficult to explain logically. But one who perceives those things, he knows those things. I can go on describing you how sweet the gulab jam is. But if I eat it, then I cannot explain to you exactly what I felt after eating it. And you may go on describing, but still it will not be sufficient. And when you eat that, it is much more than sufficient, much more than your explanation, which you have used. Something like that spiritual life is. We go on discussing about philosophy and principles. But the experiences in spiritual life, when we are genuinely practicing, they are transcendental. And one who has experienced transcendental feelings, then he knows what it is. He doesn't have to be explaining in variety of eloquent and elaborate words. So like that, Uddhav has understood, the Lord is going to soon leave me. Soon leave this world. So he approached the Lord. The Lord is leaving. And so wonderfully Uddhav is explaining to the Lord, that my Lord, we are your devotees. How can we possibly reject you or live without you in for a moment? Which means he's telling that a devotee, what is the definition of a devotee? Bhakta. One who is not vibhakta from the Lord. He is a bhakta. What is vibhakta? Who is separate from the Lord. So we become devotees when we become inseparable from the Lord in love and service. Not by just putting tilak and changing our dress and changing our name. We become devotees, actual devotees, when we become one with the Lord in purpose. One with the Lord in service. One with the Lord in love. And that is Uddhava's first statement. And he says, very, very powerful statement he has made. Whether we are lying down, that is shayanam. Whether we are sitting, that is sthanam. Whether we are walking, that is atanam. Standing, snanam, bathing, recreation, kridam. Many more things, eating, doing anything. All these things are actually your service only. All these things are common activities which everybody does. But they are always done by us for your pleasure only. We eat for you. We dress for you. We talk for you. We walk for you. We use all our limbs to meet you, to serve you, to see you, to talk to you. Everything that we do is you, my Lord, for you, for your pleasure. There is nothing that we do which is not for your pleasure. That is a devotee of the Lord. So in one sense, he is talking about himself in a very intense emotion, knowing that Lord is going, so he is expressing his heart. But in that expression also, he is putting us a very high standard of being a devotee. And trying to attract the emotion of the Lord towards him. And he is sharing, even in the Journey Home book, His Holiness Radhana Swami meets one Swami at Rishikesh. And before meeting the Swami, first one to one, the Swami was giving lecture. And in the lecture he was explaining that the only path to attain salvation in this material world, from this material world, is the holy name of the Lord. Namasmaranam is the only path. And a devotee or sadhaka should not feel that I should chant a prescribed number of times in a day. We call rounds. They call maybe hours or whatever. It is not that we do that and it's finished. No, that holy name, the nama, should be accompanying us throughout the day. Whether we are chanting actually, physically, verbally, or whether we are doing our service, the Nama Smaranam should go on in the back of our mind constantly when we are doing our routine work. Maybe we are working outside, doing a job, driving our car, or doing deity worship, or sometimes cooking, or taking care of our child, or so many things we do. But the Nama Smaranam, when we do in our prescribed hour in the morning, it should be such attentive Nama Smaranam that the memory of the Lord in the form of holy name should be continuing all throughout the day when we are doing our common day-to-day activities for 22 hours of the day. May not be 22 hours, maybe 18 hours a day, because maybe 7 to 6 hours we are sleeping, 6 to 7 hours. So those wakeful hours, when we are recreating ourselves, recreation, or playing or talking, there should be memory of the Lord. And whenever there is interruption in those activities, suppose we are finished our work and now we are about to go to take bath, in between again the holy name should prop up. I have seen devotees in ISKCON, acharyas in ISKCON, they are standing for the lift, elevator, they are chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. I have seen His Holiness Devamrut Swami Maharaj. He is not chanting, he is singing all the time. If he is talking, then he is not chanting. But if he stopped talking one sentence with you and he is now free, immediately Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, he is singing. And sometimes he is walking also, he is like dancing only, from one place to another, from floor to the elevator, from elevator to outside the elevator, to the room. I have seen in Bhaktivedanta Hospital when he had come. So that means the holy name has gone in depths of the soul, has become part of the soul, the spiritual existence. So that what reality of that personality is, existence is itself the holy name, immersed in the holy name. And it is said that by Lord Nityananda's mercy, this is possible. One can become like that. So that Swamiji was telling that one should not only chant when we are supposed to chant, but we should chant all the while we are doing many other things also. So in the beginning, what we do? We chant, but we sleep during chanting. It's the beginning stage. We pick up the mala and we go to sleep. Later, by efforts and hearing again and again, then we are wakeful when we chant. At least not sleeping. But maybe we are distracted to various 50 million thoughts in mind. Later on, by cultivation, hearing again and again, and sincere desire, then we become attentive in the wakeful condition that we are doing chanting. But then that when that chanting becomes very attentive, without distraction, then our behavior starts changing. Our behavior becomes very Krishna conscious. Whatever we do becomes Krishna conscious. Like Prabhupada would take out currency notes from his purse to pay for some bills. He would do it so graciously. This is Lakshmi. This is not paper. This is Lakshmi. Now I am giving to serve Krishna. He would drink water, and some people have become devotees just by looking at Prabhupada drinking water. The way he drinks so graciously. So whatever the pure devotee does is so gracious. So that kind of change start appearing in our life when we become actual chanters of holy name attentively. Our behavior becomes Krishna conscious. One can judge you by your behavior that you are a devotee of the Lord. Because sadhana has entered the soul now, crossing all the barriers of intelligence and minds and emotion and everything, all the attachments. And then all wakeful hours becomes very wonderfully Krishna conscious in behavior. And then the holy name continues to resound itself in the mind of a devotee during sleep also. I can share with you one experience in Barsana in camp. That we have patients and we admit Brijvasis and we do operations and then they are resting in the night. But we do go to take rounds in the night, whether anybody is uncomfortable, anybody needs anything, or the helpers do need anything. So one time many years back we had gone for a round in the morning 1 o'clock. And all the Brijvasis in the middle of the severe cold were under the thick rugs, you know, rajais. And we were hearing some Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. We had gone for rounds to find out any difficulties there. So our perception was somebody is in pain, maybe painful eye after operation or something is happening. So we went searching for that call, Radhe, Radhe. and we went to that place where from the sound was coming, Radhe Radhe, under the rug. So we removed the rug and we saw the person was fast asleep. Fast asleep. And still in front of us he was chanting, Radhe Radhe. Please chant, Radhe Radhe. At least we can chant when you are awake. He is chanting when he is sleeping. And it was such an amazing, astonishing sight. And not one, there were many other also. So I was thinking, we sleep during wakeful chanting and they chant during sleep. What a contrast. So that is a proof that the holy name has entered such in such depths of the soul that the soul is not sleeping in the night, the body is sleeping in the night. And the soul is still with Krishna, still with Radharani. So we read and hear and we also experience in some people's lives that this is not just theory, it is possible. It is practically possible at least to see these things, what has been told in scriptures. So the Swami told that finally the holy name should percolate our sleep also. And the proof of that, whenever you open your eyes in the middle of the night, Hare Krishna, immediately, will come only when we are Krishna conscious to that extent. So Uddhava is telling that each and every breath should be for Krishna. We should breathe for Krishna. And Uddhava is that kind of a devotee. Arjuna is that kind of a devotee. We all know that. Yudhishthira Maharaj asked Krishna that we all love you, all five brothers. We will love you, mostly equally we love you. But still you chose Arjuna to tell Bhagavad Gita. You didn't select one of us. So Krishna said, I will show you. I will tell you one day. And one day, Arjuna came to visit Dwarka. And Pandava also came. So Arjuna was tired. So Arjuna went to sleep. And that time Krishna said, go and call Arjuna. So some people went to call Arjuna. There's a big list is there, by the way. Somebody first came attendant level. Then some Adhikari went. And then even Satyavama went. Then even Rukmini went. And what they saw? That he is every hair follicle. From the bottom of every whole hair follicle, Krishna's name was being chanted. So one person went and started playing kartals with that resounding of the holy name. Another person went and started playing mridanga. And Satyamama went and started dancing as per the tune of the kirtan that was happening. And it became a gathering of kirtan actually. But first person was told that you go and put your ear to the hair follicle, any hair follicle of Arjuna's body. And he heard the holy name of Krishna from every hair follicle romancha of Arjuna's body. And that time Yudhishthira understood that we are not on that level. Of course, humbly he understood. So Arjuna is another example. Sleeping or wakeful, doing anything or not doing anything, he was always chanting the holy name of the Lord. So Uddhava is telling the same point. The devotee is a real devotee when his life wakefulness is called Jagruti. Then there is in between stage called Nidra. And then there is Sushumna. That is when we are awake and aware in one sense at the spiritual platform during sleep also. A very high level of stage where consciousness of Krishna is very deep within the spiritual existence of a person. And then we have a song. Jivane marane gati arnahi mor Radha Krishna pranamo yugala kisho. That is, you are my life and soul, my Lord. I live or die. There is nothing but you in my life. So whether it is wakefulness or whether it is sleep, whether it is life or whether it is death. If one is surrendered to the Supreme Lord, then to such person, the Supreme Lord sells himself. The Supreme Lord becomes the property of that person. He has sold. Vasudev Datta can sell me in the market wherever he wants. I am his property. And not only one person. Lord Chaitanya told to many devotees that I am your property. And he told others also, I am his property. And he can sell me wherever he wants. So, there's another thing I read one time, that if one dances in front of deity, then the Lord becomes subservient to those people who dance for his pleasure in front of him. So we don't dance that we want to make him under our control. But he chooses to be under the control of those devotees who dance for him, in front of him, with love for his pleasure. So these are various means by which we can become more and more Krishna conscious. But in essence, Uddhava is giving us a very beautiful situation. That we may be devotees, but if you give up hearing and chanting, and if you give up serving him, then from whichever stage we are, we can again come to the illusion that we are the enjoyers of the material world. This world is meant for me. And if we keep hearing and chanting and serving and remain engaged in service, then we will be always aware that this world is not meant for my enjoyment. It is meant for Krishna's enjoyment. All my activities, all my thoughts are supposed to be directed towards the pleasure of the Lord. And if we give up in between, again we think we are the enjoyers. So, hearing and chanting and being engaged in service to the Lord is a vaccine against the illusion of thinking that we are the enjoyers. This world is meant for my pleasure and my enjoyment. That selfish enjoyment kind of thought props up again and again when the vaccine is given up. So we have to see that whether we are happy, unhappy, suffering, not suffering, enjoying, not enjoying, miserable or blissful, in all the conditions of life, we have to see that we remain engaged in continuous hearing and chanting, whatever happens in the world. We have been told repeatedly that we may be suffering in a very dire emergency, bad life and death situation. But we should not forget that at the banks of Ganga, Yamuna, under the Bansiwat, Sri Krishna is standing with playing his flute and Radharani is standing to his left side. That fact will remain same whether we are suffering or not suffering. If we are conscious of that fact, that this reality will never change. While the suffering will change and the happiness also will change one day. But this fact will not be changed. If we are attached to this fact, which is transcendentally eternal, then no suffering or no happiness will actually affect us. No happiness will elate us or no suffering will depress us. We will remain a steady platform of Krishna consciousness. And that is what is Sri Krishna telling Bhagavad Gita, O Krishna, become Trigunatit. Go beyond the three modes of material nature and situate yourself in transcendence so that you will be always with me. And in that situation, you will attain me and you will be ever happy and ever blissful, whether you are in the material world or spiritual world. So Uddhavji Maharaj ki, such an inspiring example, Uddhavji is. And his stories in Vrindavan are so inspiring. And when we go to Kusum Sarovar, we understand that his personality, so magnanimous, is living in the form of Gulmalata there. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. So if there are any comments, any questions, yes. Give the microphone, please.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, you mentioned that this Uddhavji, he was disciple of Braspati. And I have heard that Braspati was son of Angira, who appeared in first Manvantar. And Uddhava appeared in seventh Manvantar. So
the lives of demigods are lakhs and lakhs of years.
That's what the question.
when I sleep in the night, the mosquito takes four generations. And I see, when I wake up also, mosquitoes are taking more and more generations. So, I still exist. Like that, the demigods are, some demigods are long, Brahmaji has got life of all the universe. And other demigods also have long, long lives. Some demigods have lesser life. As per the Brahma Loka, Jana Loka, Siddha Loka, Tapa Loka, as you come down, then Bhuvar, Swar, lives are different. So, things are also accordingly.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Any other question is there? Anybody has any question? I think nobody has question. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Runtara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai ho.